You're listening to the Collab Talk podcast, episode 258 of the MVP Buzz Chat series. In this episode, I'm talking with Microsoft Azure MVP Nicholas Chang. Hey, everybody, it's Christian Buckley doing another MVP Buzz Chat, and I'm talking today with Nicholas. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for inviting me.
It's great to have you. It's always exciting to talk to brand new, like a week ago, week and a half ago, brand new MVPs. So, Nicholas, for folks that don't know you, who are you, where are you, and what do you do?
So, who am I? So, I'm Nicholas Chang. I'm currently a senior platform engineer from an IT consulting company based in Belfast in England. And we provide services to different like public sector, private sector. And I'm recently awarded my Microsoft Azure MVP.
MVP. Yeah. There's a lot. I think the last three people I've interviewed are all Azure MVPs. So we'll dig into that. Interesting to find out like what you focus on. But let me ask you first, because what was your path to becoming an MVP? Like, how did you hear about the program? When did you kind of start down that path?
I don't really have that much path. I just pretty much help the community. So I always very shy at presenting, speaking, those things. And one of my friends in the community pushed me to like do more community events, and I started speaking and started blogging, started like interviewing like in podcasts like yourself. Mm-hmm. And then recently I've started going to conferences. So that's been two conferences. I've been on two of the big ones, like one Scottish Summit and one of the Expert Live Europe last year.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't use MVP as my target. I just try to help more people. So whether it's just get them more learning about Azure itself and try to like the easiest way is to speak at user groups. So that's what I do. And then whatever I learn from work, I try to share it with other people.
Yep. Well, no, I think that's the spot on. It's like the goal is not to become an MVP. I mean, it might be in the back of your mind. You know, some people are, you know, they like going down that path. I really want to focus on that. But it all needs to be based in, you know, things that you're doing for the community. And regardless of the award, I mean, there's personally, I get benefits from helping people. I get that like runner's buzz of when I can answer a question or provide some help or guidance or point them to somebody else who knows the answer to a difficult question. I love helping people that way.
Yeah, because it wasn't originally my target. My target is just to be better myself, like in soft skills, like presentation skills, communication skills, and people skills and stuff. And then ending up really enjoying it. And then that's how it started. So just trying to be more comfortable at presenting, since at university I was quite shy presenting at large crowds. So I tried to come out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, that's because I think that's it's always when you think of like the people's biggest fears in life, public speaking is always in the top three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sharks, I'm more afraid of becoming electrocuted somehow. You know, that I'm more fearful of that. So how did you approach that the first couple times of public speaking? How did you get the nerves to do that?
So I have like a role model. So some people in my community that's very good is like, for example, Thomas Mario, April Edwards, some people that's very good. So I look at them as a role model. And then I try to, whenever I've got a session coming up, like speaking session, I normally prepare it well in advance and then need to read to myself and make some notes and stuff and just do some dry run. And then I just don't, whenever I'm on a day and standing up and presenting with people, large people, I don't think of them as a large crowd. I think of them like you can teach them something. And then that's it. Because if you teach them, see them like a large crowd, it will scare you away. So I just show them that I can teach them something, so without being scared away by the large
Yeah.
crowd.
I like that idea because my method is just to think of it as an interaction. And obviously sometimes you don't get that. You don't get questions. Sometimes if you're in a large enough space, might be dark. You may only see faces for the first few rows. But I always try to think of it as an interactive, like more of a conversation.
Yeah, because sometimes if there's a question that you don't understand, just don't be afraid to say no, because no one's really expert in the cloud. So you can say you can get back to them and you help them, like contact me on social media, I'll try to help you and so.
Have you ever had a heckler in the crowd?
Sorry,
Them to give
can
you a
you?
hard time? You know, so somebody who disagreed and argued,
Yeah,
tried to
I had
argue with you.
one, but then there's another person in the crowd that helped to defend me, saying that
Yeah.
it's that's how I done. I did the presentation before. That's not how it works and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that I actually saw that happen to a few other speakers, and I've been waiting for that experience. And I mean, I've
Yeah.
had people that have been very vocal, but I wouldn't call them hecklers. They weren't, you know, being negative, trying to catch me in something or,
Nah.
you know, but there's
I think
definitely people
any.
that try to talk about, like, share their knowledge, like, oh, I know more than
Yeah.
you, and kind of speak up. But again, it's just how you handle it.
Yeah, that can be stressful, but it's not everyone's like that. So some people want to see you succeed. So end of the day, you can try your best. That's what I say.
Well, that's what I don't mean to scare people that are thinking about this. Like it rarely happens when
Yeah.
it's like that. So people are usually pretty helpful and empathetic.
Sometimes when people do that, like, if someone typically do, they want to test how much you know about some like a subject and stuff, they keep pushing you. So it's kind of good in terms of troubleshooting because they
Yeah.
help you thinking. So in terms of answering questions, just if you don't know something, just don't be afraid to say no. Or worst case scenario, a colleague could just or someone in the crowd could actually help you. So which it did, yeah.
Well, there was so I've shared a few times, but so years and years ago, before I was doing much public speaking, it was about just over 20 years ago, came across a gentleman who was speaking to technical communities, and he actually had his entire talk documented down the slides, and he had somebody, a friend of his, sit in the audience and go through his slides in a he had it in a like a binder and was
Yeah.
taking notes. When the audience would react, when they wouldn't react, when questions that were asked. So he got real-time feedback, you know, from the audience and how they responded, but also little cues, things that this friend in the audience captured, like, you did this, you couldn't really hear you didn't follow up with this point at this stage, or the people asked these questions, maybe you need to build up
Yeah.
the content around that and answer that question within the content. I just thought that was a fantastic idea. So that's, again, for somebody as you're starting out, that's a good way to get feedback. Of course,
Yeah.
you got the tools, like PowerPoint has
Yeah, presentation
the
coach.
presentation coach as well.
Because you don't really, I don't, you can normally make notes, do your dry run and presentation coach, but at the end of the day, you just need to come out and come out your comfort zone and try to do it because at the end of the day, people want you to succeed and
Right.
stuff.
Definitely. Well, what are your topics today? What are you passionate about? What are you talking and speaking about today?
So, my topic really some it varies really. Sometimes it should be Terraform, sometimes it could be like open AI because that's buzz
A
around
hot
here now.
topic, right?
And then it could be like GitHub, and then it could be something like Azure DevOps, so most of the DevOps side.
Yeah.
Yeah, because normally how I do it is that when I submit a session, I normally put it as beginners and then more I do those sessions that like if I do another Terraform one, I can put it intermediate because I know it did it before. So I put it as introduction because it get feel that you know what level you are, the various.
Yeah. So what's your primary contribution type? Are you more of a writer? Are you creating videos? Like, what kind of content?
So I do vary. So I do like speaking at user group, and then otherwise it will be like normal podcasts with other like people, like me and you and stuff. Otherwise it would be like going and writing some troubleshooting stuff from my blog. So writing my blog. Yeah, and when I have a chance to just go to conferences, so that much. I'm trying to get used to question and answer in Microsoft tech forums. I'm trying to get
Yeah.
used to, yeah, and that's it.
You know what I find with that, it's funny is that, because I always encourage people. I said, if you're deathly afraid of speaking, if you're not
Yeah.
really good at writing, you don't have a lot of time for that. I know some MVPs that they started out by taking like 15, 20 minutes every morning, going into like tech community and answering questions.
Yeah.
And when I've gone in there, I've attempted to do that. What I was finding was that a lot of them, most of them required follow-up questions. It was like too slow of a process. I go in there and find things that I could answer like right
You
off,
can't
right?
really do that. You can answer one question, help troubleshoot something, but they might need further troubleshooting
Yeah.
stuff.
Well, that's the thing. I know a lot of times, I mean, I've done the same thing. Ask a question because I'm just wary of going and sitting on the phone with support, waiting to talk to
Yeah.
somebody and going through that process. But yeah, it's still that's something that I recommend. I actually started doing with a group of friends early in the pandemic, where we started doing answering questions that were out in these various forums that were unanswered, and we
Yeah.
started doing an AMA style and answering them with a group of us.
Yeah, so AMA is quite good. So anything, you know. So it's kind of like, for example, if you go to Microsoft Docs, you just look, those could be like raising pull requests as well. So that could count as contribution.
Well, that's it. Yeah. And in fact, for folks that might not know that, a lot of that, documentation on Microsoft is community created content. And
Yeah.
so I always try to look for the authors of the content. If I'm looking in the SharePoint and Teams world, I usually know the people that are involved. So it's always, it's just one of those kind of, silent contributions. It's not like you go and tweet out to the world, "Hey, I just added to document version 4.2.1. of this," like, no, nobody does that. And so it's cool to see people that out in the community contributing that way.
Yeah, because you can see the author name, so it's most time it's community members and or that as that contributor.
Yep. So what else do you have going on this spring? Do you have a bunch of events lined up?
So I have one by commute in the communities called, I think they do it quarterly. It's called Address Spring Clean. So every few months, a group of people organize that, and then we just do topic on some in Azure. It could be like cost management, security, anything. And then I've got one in that's in March. So yeah, and then I submitted some one for to help one of the Microsoft Learner, Learner Room, Microsoft Learner Room, Zero to Hero. I'm trying to help a friend with that. So it's pretty much like a learner room where people can go there to learn like from certifications stuff. And then every so often people bring speakers to teach them. Yeah. And I'm hopeful to submit a session soon on Expert Live Europe, which is going to be on this year, September. And I think I can't remember the place now. Yeah, so it should be good.
Yeah, it's I just saw a couple call the speakers are coming out. I know that I always recommend to people too, is like start with your local user group. Like
Yeah.
we have our local user group meeting, I think next week. So I don't even know. If it's on my calendar, so I know it's there. It's either
Yeah.
next week or week after. Anyway,
Because I organize I just founded my own user group as well, so
Oh,
just
yeah, what's that about?
it's online. So it's pretty much it's only Azure itself, and it just it's pretty much yeah, only solely on Azure. We just do it online at the moment. So it's on my, I think, 9 episodes so far now on Monday.
Is that
So
the Azure Community Enthusiasts?
yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, see, yeah. I just went, and I'll put it in the blog and everything, but I'm looking at your MVP profile. So I was like, if it's not a link you're talking about it, hopefully it's in the links. And it is.
Yeah, it's there. Yeah, it's there. And then I gave myself a kind of challenge to similar to yours by starting a new podcast called Agile Community Insights. So just speak to community members and bring their bring what they know about, like express that topic. So someone is a security. So give more insights and share it with other people. So and then hopefully I can put that like Spotify and Apple Music.
I tell people it's one of the I call it like a cheat sheet item for giving back to the community is like this. Like I'm doing the production of it, but I'm highlighting other people. I'm highlighting their work. I love doing that. And so it's a fun way to contribute, give back to the community. So there's always the ability, whatever area people are focused on, to just become like a center of, thought leadership around that topic. Yeah. Doesn't mean you're writing it, you're creating all of that, but bringing in and highlighting the work of others. Again,
that's why normally one of my friends went to the MCT conference in Netherlands, and she said MCT is a way to start MVP because you're like a trainer. You tell people about certain like product and stuff, and then it's similar and it's kind of one of your contribution to MVP as well. So same.
Well, I mean, because you're creating content, you're educating people. That's why I think you see a lot of MVPs that also are MCTs, because it just makes sense. It's the same kind of experience. I'm not an MCT. I'm actually, it's one of the things on my list. I'm thinking about trying to get one this year. And there's a couple different areas, which I find that I'm talking about, writing about constantly. Like, why don't I just go and finalize it, do the certification, and then go for
the MCT. The certification, and then you can just do like a LinkedIn learning course, like whether it's foundation, Agile fundamental, AI fundamental. It's still a start because it's still a course and foundation knowledge.
Yeah. Well, that's again for folks that are interested in becoming an MCT, and a lot of the the foundational, the required, courseware, it's available out there through LinkedIn Learning and elsewhere. And you can even take, the sample tests, and then you have to pay for a fee to sit for the actual certification exam. But I believe everything else is free. Of course, there are classes. You could do it faster. You could do the self-paced, or you could go do a course and get that professional guidance, which, there's definitely benefits to that as well.
Yeah, but I think it's better if you do it and then you start doing it as a job, like whether your job will be teaching people, like whether it's making content.
Yep. Well, there's another, again, I think it's great you bring it up, because there are options for people out there that are saying, hey, well, I'd be interested in becoming MVP. With a friend of mine, we run a mentoring group for people that are interested in becoming MVPs. And we've been doing it for just over a year. That's Sharon Weaver and I have been running it for just over a year. And four of our people in our cohort have become MVPs since we started. And there's certainly things that you can do to help make your contributions more visible to Microsoft, to the community, to the world. But it starts with giving back to the community. I always recommend, like, start today, go get involved with the Yerza group, show up every month, volunteer for things. And then, like, as you did, just share, like, hey, I'd be happy to speak. And even if it's for like 5-10 minutes at the beginning of a monthly session,
share what you're working on. Talk like 15 minutes, and then you can bring someone, like people can bring myself or a fellow MVP to encourage you to
right
as well, like a like a solo, no, like a group speaker, like co-speaker.
We started doing it where we ask anybody in the room, like, hey, do you want to share? Like, if you're working on something really cool at work and you want to share what you're building, or if you've got questions about that. And so sometimes people will, like, hey, I'm working on this, and here was my approach, and here's what I've done so far. And they actually get some consulting from people, like, hey, I've done this, you should look at this, or, you know, they get some help there. But it's also, you know, an experience of, you know, that first time of presenting to that user group. It's a great way to get started.
Yeah, because worst case scenario is someone can get started even at work doing presentation to other people, like a colleague and stuff. Like for example, my workplace, we do like a show and tell. So anything I learn, my team learn, we share with other people, and that will help build your confidence to speak at a user group because you've done that session before with share with other members of your team.
Yeah, that is great that you have your work culture that they're built around and support that. That's something that I've been at organizations that have done that, and it's benefited everybody, you know, to do that kind of sharing. And it's also better to you know, highlight, you know, one, you want to see as a, you know, as a people manager, you want to see that people are constantly learning new skills, they're
Yeah,
developing
because
themselves and growing.
at the end of the day, presentation skills is like soft skills. It's no matter where you go in your career, you still need soft skills. Like if
Right.
you go to management skill level, you still need that people skill, communication skill. I just use that as to increase it, build my
Yeah.
confidence.
No, you will definitely get more opportunities if you develop those skills for sure. So, well, Nicholas, really appreciate your time. Are you coming to the MVP Summit?
Yeah, I'll be in there in March, so I'm coming. Are you coming
Yeah,
as well?
excellent. I will be there as well. So we'll see
Okay.
whether we can find each other in the crowd. But yeah, if we see each other, we'll definitely have to say hello, take a picture.
Yeah, I'll probably be there with a group of people like Gregor Sutty, and then one of my MVPs, like I think he got like 15 years MVP. I'm not sure if you know him. Is Kevin Green. He's like a system center.
It's
Like,
a different area. See,
yeah.
that's the thing, is it whether we'll even see each other, depending on how they
That's
organize it. There's different buildings. We may never cross paths during the week, but yeah,
I'll drop
we'll
you a message on LinkedIn if
please
every,
do. Yeah.
yeah.
It's, you
So,
know, depending on how they do the layout, if we're all over on the main campus because they've got the new building and everything over there, maybe we will see each other over there. So
yeah,
we'll
sure.
definitely.
Look forward to it.
Well,
It'll be the first one. Should be
so I will,
good.
of course, I'm going to grab all your social links. Where are you most active in the social platforms? Where can people find
So
you?
people can find me through LinkedIn and Twitter. Yeah, those are my
The main two.
mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get everything else. We'll make sure we get your user group on there and your GitHub profile, everything else. If you want to find that, of course, it'll be out on the Buckley Planet blog, out on YouTube, as well as you'll be able to find links out on the podcast. So, Nicholas, really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Chris, man.